If you would, please turn in your Bibles to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be in chapter 21 for just a moment, but I want you to turn to chapter 1 to get started here this morning. That song that we're going to end with this morning is, there's just something about that name. It's a name above all names. In my Bible, there are hundreds of descriptions for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could just read them all off, or I could hand you a sheet of paper with all the names on them. Or you could do something in your heart, in your mind this morning, and decide to take a little walk with me to be in the presence of the Lord. Just walk along through His Scripture and His Word. The psalmist that wrote the 119th Psalm in that 89th verse said, "And your word shall be made manifest and made known and finished and solved in heaven." And that place of heaven is a place like no other that we can ever imagine. And that will be the end of our earthly journey and the beginning of our entirely eternal spiritual journey. And it's because there is someone there whom I long to see. I want to see His face. I want to talk to Him. I want to be with Him. My Maker, my Creator, my Father. The one that made all of the wonders of this world that we hang on to so tightly, but we've not even scratched the surface of His creation. We cannot imagine what He has in store for us. My Bible says that very plainly. The mind cannot conceive, not possibly. The Bible says the mind cannot possibly conceive of the blessings that God has in store for us. In this book of the Revelation scares so many people. I am enlightened by this book. I love this book of the Revelation. And I wanted you to turn to chapter 1 so that you know whose book it is. It says, chapter 1, introduction, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Him to show His servants things which must shortly take place, and He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John. This is Christ's final words to us of encouragement. And the encouragement is, you win. Satan loses the race. The walk is over for him eternally. He cannot bother you anymore. When you are bonded, when you walk side by side with Jesus Christ, the devil has no place with you anymore. He thinks he does, and sometimes we think he does. Bad English. Sometimes we think he's got a hold on us, especially in times of grief and sorrow. All families go through these seasons of grief, and they are heavy, and they are unbelievably hard to take. Kim and Jared are going through that right now. And their entire family. It's a season of grief. It's one thing on top of another, on top of another. And the only thing that we have, and I mean the only thing, spiritually, is to know that Jesus Christ is there for us. And that there is a better plan and a better way in a better place than here. Planet Earth's beautiful, but we're not to worship it. Our families are beautiful, but we're not to worship our families. We're supposed to take care of our families and guide them toward Jesus Christ so that they are eternally taken care of. It seems on our day-to-day walk that we need to do everything we can to fill every minute of every day with all the busyness that we can possibly do to keep them busy and feed them nachos. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is to keep them in God's Word. And if you read that 119th Psalm over and over again, you will understand how deeply this psalmist is trying his best to put God first in his life. It's a struggle to do it, isn't it? The world is so full of hurtful things. Think of the poor people just in the last 2 months that we can identify with. The people in Houston, the people in Florida, the people in Puerto Rico. And all of those islands, some of those islands are wiped out, they're gone. They haven't even got to some of those out islands yet. They've not even been there, and they probably won't get there because some of them are gone, never to be heard from or seen again. My prayer is that they knew Jesus Christ. Because if they did, they're somewhere special. Now you can flip over to chapter 21 with me. Just go ahead and flip over there in the book of the Revelation. Just do it like you mean it. This is the new Jerusalem described in this, starting in the 9th verse. It tells of 7 angels and 7 bowls, and it tells of plagues that are going to destroy this earth, but then there's going to be a new Jerusalem come down, and we're all going to rejoice and be there with Jesus Christ. And before you even get to 9 and the rest of it in chapter 21, it says that there's going to be a place in verse 4. It says, when we all get to heaven and get with Jesus Christ our Savior, it says, and God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. And there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Praise God. There's coming a day when all of this junk is over. This is Christ's book. That's why I had you look at chapter 1. This is His book. It's His revelation. God says, go tell your people about this. The people who you died for on that cross of Calvary, the people who you sacrificed your life for, tell them about this place that you said you told them that you had a place prepared. And you tell them about it and describe it to them and tell them how beautiful it is and tell them that once they get there, there's no more nachos and cheese. There's the most beautiful fruit that's ever been. That's the fruit that came from God the Father. The fruit that came out of God the Father and His love for you has a name, and His name is Jesus. That's His name. That's the name of this fruit. It's the fruit, it's the best fruit, it's the perfect fruit, it's the fruit that gives life. It's bread fruit. Jesus said it's the bread of life. And we're going there and we're going to be able to partake of it. And Jesus says when we get there that He will sit and dine with us. Now you can call that symbolic, but I believe it's absolutely true because we'll be dining on the spiritual eternal. That's the food that we need, isn't it? Jesus said that my words are spirit and my spirit is life. That's John 6:63 if you'd like to know where to find that. This journey is not supposed to end in an upset stomach. It's supposed to end with us praising God, praising Him, and saying, "Thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for me." And He says, "I've got this place, and why can't you rejoice with me this morning? Are you rejoicing in this walk? My walk ends up here, right here." Chapter 21. Let's start with chapter 21 now. Let's back up to verse 1. It says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God.'" I hear not one hallelujah. I hear not one amen. We've held the hands of people who have passed from this life to the next. And those that we have held the hands of that had professed Jesus Christ as their Savior, we've seen them peacefully go from this side to the other side. And in my heart, I sang hallelujah. And for one of them, I promised them that I would dance, and I danced for them right here. This is supposed to be a celebration, not a funeral. We have those things in our life. Jared just laid to rest an uncle yesterday, right, Jared? And it's a time of parting ways. But there'll be a time coming when we will be rejoined with those who love the Lord. And there won't be anyone there in this place that we're going that doesn't love the Lord. So we will all be in agreement. There'll be no more argument about anything ever, 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 ever again. Amen. There's something we need to do on our way to heaven. It's really the most important part of our journey. If you know and love the Lord. It's called Thanksgiving. It's called giving thanks with a grateful heart for everything that has happened in your life. There must be a purpose. It cannot be just a dog's life. There has to be some purpose to the reason that you are here. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's a purpose for your life? I believe there's a purpose for each and every one of your lives, for every minute of your life, for every jot, every tittle, everything that happens. And you need to make it purposefully thankful for God so that He will bless you because of your thanksgiving. The importance of this cannot be overemphasized. That's why I'm spending time on it this morning. The Bible tells us that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Look at James chapter 4. Turn with me to James chapter 4. Hebrews. And what comes after Hebrews? James. James chapter 4. I almost tried you out there for a minute. I was going to have you turn to 2 John chapter 4 to see what you said. James chapter 4. My Bible says this. God, in verse 6, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Now, if you read this on, you will absolutely think that you are supposed to mourn every day of your life, but you need to read all of what James has to say. James says that we first must admit that we are sinners and then give thanks to God for giving us pardon and His grace for forgiving us. It's part of our prayerful thanksgiving in this life. How can you give thanks for being forgiven and for what Christ did on the cross unless you believe first that you're a sinner? It goes hand in hand. Can't give God thanks for something that you don't believe. That's just called lip service, isn't it? Huh? Is this getting too heavy? How can you give thanks for something unless you have received it? Receiving God's grace comes by believing that you have received it. The scripture just said that God recognizes and loves the humble heart. So how do you become humble? How do you humble yourself in front of God? We said we came here to worship, did we not? Will anybody go out there before they leave this place today, and before when you get to your car out there in the parking lot, will you just kneel down like this and pray to your car? Huh? Oh, car. Oh, thank you, car. I thank you that you will start. I thank you that you got me here. I thank you that you're going to get me home. Oh, car. Oh, car of mine. Oh, great Chevy. Oh, great Ford. No, we... Well, now, wait a minute. I'm not done. Oh, great Honda. Thank you, Larry. How to get that advertisement in there. Any other dealers? Turn with me to Philippians. Turn with me in Philippians to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. We're going to start right here. We're going to learn how to be humble in front of the Lord. And humbleness does not mean that you are constantly on your face in this life. It means that you have time in your life and there is a place in your life to rejoice and to be happy and be thankful. Even in our sorrows. There is a time for weeping, absolutely, and we weep with you. And there is a time for rejoicing, and I hope we can rejoice together. Did you not read with me? Did you not hear, if you weren't reading along, that there is a place for you and I who believe, where there's no more tears, there's no more sorrow, there's no more pain, there's nothing except joy and rejoicing? Did you not read that with me? Do you believe it? Because if you don't believe it, there's no reason to even be here. Unless you are seeking God for the first time, then you need to be here among other believers who believe that. Who believes that God has a special place prepared for you? Who? Do you believe? I've never asked anybody to walk on the back of pews in this church, but you know, we need to do some rejoicing in our life. This scripture says it plainly. Paul, used to be Saul, was one of the nastiest, ugliest, most terrible human beings on the planet. And by ugly, I don't mean what you saw when you looked at him. I don't know if he was comely, if he was good looking. It doesn't matter to me. But a person is ugly when they are spiteful and mean and they take other people's lives. It's the ugliest that it gets, right? He was that person. And then he found Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ blinded him. Saul was blinded. And he finally saw Jesus Christ for who he is. That's who I'm trying to show you this morning. I'm trying to show you your Savior, Jesus Christ. This person that says, I've got all of this for you. And I want you to have it. And so Paul is writing this church in Philippi. And he says this in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice! Are you saved? Act like it once in a while. Just once in a while. You know, just have a moment. Even while eating nachos and cheese. Rejoice. You know, just once in a while. Rejoice. I know some people thought we were probably crazy last night. We were having dinner with a couple, and we just spent about 2 hours taking up space in a restaurant rejoicing. Just rejoicing. People kept coming around going, you guys all right? Yeah, we're just rejoicing. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on the Lord. Because we had good news overflowing out of people's mouths. Four people telling of their testimony of what the Lord had done in their life positively. And every one of us at the table had horrible things happen to us. Horrible! But yet, there was this time of rejoicing. Rejoice. And again I say, rejoice! Let's read the rest of this. It gets better. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. My wife just prayed that a few moments ago up here. How sweet it would be on this walk that we're on. Here we go. Lord, my shoes are falling apart. In fact, I don't have any shoes. I don't know where my next meal is coming from. I'm broke. My bank account's empty. My dog died. My car got run over by a train. I'm writing a country song. Everything in the world that could possibly happen to me has been happening in the last few days. But you know what? I'm not worried about it because I know you're in control. I give it to you. You're in control. You have it well in hand, and someday when I get done with this walk here on earth, but while I'm here, you know what? God needs to know that you're thankful for what you have. Do you have the breath in your body? A person yesterday was telling me about their sorrows, and we talked about it. And how anxious they were. simply said, let's try to put this in perspective. Do you have a place tonight to lay your head? Do you have enough or do you need help? Are you going to be able to eat today? And we went on and asked a few more questions of ourselves. I wasn't just asking this person. This was a joint question. What's going on right here today as we speak? Last question was, what do we have to be thankful for? Because we know people, we know that there are people, we're positive that there are people that don't have a place that's fit to lay their head down. They don't have clothing. They don't have clean water. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. And some of those same folks are still praising God. They're saying, Lord, you're in control. I know that there's a place better than this place that I'm in. I know that there is. They're confidently saying that to the Lord. I know, Lord, that you're going to get me through this. It will be brighter on the other side. And it could be just tomorrow. Of course, here at Vanderhoof, we know tomorrow never comes because when you wake up in the morning, it will be today. Verse 7 says that if you can walk like this, even in the darkest times, it says that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, in verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these, and the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace of God will be with you. You see, you take everything and you write down, whether you use a piece of paper or not, you write it down in your mind, in your heart, and you say, these are the things that are troubling me, Lord. And over here are things that is worthy of praise and thanksgiving. And Paul says, the thing that to be most thankful for is that someone loved you enough to die for you. Someone gave their life for you. Someone shed their blood so that you can have an eternity in peace. And someone has promised you that there is a place better than this place. And there's a place of eternal contentment and peace. But God doesn't want you to run toward your earthly death. He wants you to run a good race while you are here so that others can come along with you. You see, that's the point of my life. You say, what's the point of my life? Am I worthless? Is this life worthless? People get to that point in their life where they think they have nothing to contribute and their life is worthless. But your life is not worthless. You are meaningful. Every one of you, every soul, every word that comes out of your mouth can be meaningful to someone else, if you're willing to give praise to God for what you have. But there are rules attached to this. And the psalmist in the 119th Psalm makes it clear, I have your laws, O Lord, and by your laws, that's what keeps me straight. That's what helps me to be above my enemies. That protects me. It guides my feet. Your word is a lamp under my feet. See, God's word makes the difference in our life as to what journey we are on and what other people see. Do they want to walk with you or do they want to shy away from you? We discussed this a little bit here a couple weeks ago. And we're going to end with it today. Are you walking in peace? And are you proclaiming the name of Jesus has meaning in your life? Do you ever use the word in a noble, just like Paul asked us to think upon, do you ever use the name of the Lord in a noble sense? Or do you take the Lord's name in vain? Because every time we say the word Jesus, if it's not of nobility, if it's not in loving kindness, if it's not in thanksgiving, we are taking His work on the cross and His name in vain. Every time we say the name of Jesus, if it's not with love and thanksgiving in our voice, we are taking the name of the Lord in vain. Be very careful. Be very careful in your life how you use the name of Jesus Christ, because it is the name above all names. Words fly from our lips sometimes. And I've heard people say, I just can't help it. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. People are watching. God's watching. He's the final judge of our character, but people are watching on this road that you are following. And if you say you walk with the Lord, you will never use His name in vain. You will never use His name in vain. You will praise His holy name. And if you have nothing good to say, don't say anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. Have some final scripture here that I want you to enjoy with me. And you've already read it with me this morning, but there is something about that name of Jesus that just absolutely should make you joyful about this morning. And I want you to turn back with me to the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And John says, this man who was privileged to author this book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, this John who declared, he said, I'm paraphrasing so that we'll all understand. This man, John, said, Jesus loves me. This I know. He said that. He did. He said, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. Are you the disciple that Jesus loves? If you have recognized, remember we talked about recognizing and acknowledging things last week. If you have acknowledged that God exists, that Jesus Christ is who He is, and that you are a sinner, if you've acknowledged that you've not always walked with the Lord, and you have asked for forgiveness and have received forgiveness, received God's grace in your heart, then are you the one who can acknowledge that Jesus is the name above all names because He is your Savior? Have you done that? Because if you haven't, you're walking this road of life alone. Your journey, my Bible says, is a crooked path. You're just going from place to place as fast as you can get there without the guidance of God's Word. I take you back to the 119th Psalm. That psalmist says over and over and over again, without your precepts, without your teaching, without your law, without your commandments, I am totally lost. But your precepts, your word, your commandments, your law keep me straight and save me. And save me from this crooked and perverse world that we live in. And if you're traveling with Jesus Christ, you are walking on holy ground. Man, alive, think about that. Think about every place that you put your foot. If you're praising the name of Jesus Christ, every time your foot touches this earth, instead of leaving a scorched earth behind and ruin, you're walking on holy ground with the Lord. Wow. In all things, give thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you can practice that. You can practice it in your car. I turned the blinker on. Thank you, Lord. You think that's silly? It's not. It is not. It is a way to remind yourself that we need to always be in prayer and supplication and thanksgiving to the Lord. Just try it for a little bit. And you know what will happen? Out of that, you will start giving thanks for many things that you didn't give thanks for before. I guarantee you it'll happen. The car just cut me off. Thank you, Lord, it didn't wreck. Now, what a change that would be. That lady at the grocery store just got in front of me. She has one item and she can't find her coupon, and it took 100 years for her to get it. Thank you, Lord, that you saved me this moment from getting out that door in Kroger's parking lot because I could have been run over. Because Gary's driving again. John admits who Jesus is. And if you're ever, ever, ever unsure of who Jesus is, then turn to the first chapter, the first page of the book of John the Apostle, and read it and see what it says in your Bible. See, when I say these things, then I hear pages rustling. I know you're going to turn there. But keep your finger there in the 21st chapter of the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. But the first chapter of the book of John, John is telling us how to acknowledge the Lord every day. What's it say? What's it say about Jesus Christ? All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made. Read a little bit of it for us, Lem. Just start right there, verse 1, chapter 1.
In the beginning, the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made. That was made. In Him was life. And the light was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
Right back to Psalm 119. His word is a light unto my path and a guide unto my feet. Without Him, nothing was made. That means you, Betty. That means without Christ, you weren't made. You're not here. Without the Lord, you're not here. We're coming up on that season where we'll watch some movies, won't we, as families? It's a Wonderful Life. Remember when Clarence, the angel, rescues? Huh? Remember that? When they get back up into the little house on the bridge, And Clarence tells Jimmy Stewart that he's not here. You don't exist. None of anything in your life ever happened. That's what it's like without Jesus Christ. And without Him, you will be nothing. Without Him, when you leave this life and journey, take that first step on the rest of your journey into the other part of life, if you have not recognized Jesus Christ for who He is here, He will say, "I never knew you." Paraphrase, you never existed. Because nothing in your life made any purposeful difference in the life of someone else. You did not shine a light for someone and lead them to Jesus Christ. I told you there was a cost. And our cost is to walk with Him, not against Him. To walk with Him. We're done except for chapter 21. We're going to read it one more time. And I'm going to thank Him for being who He is. And Romaine's going to come up here and lead us in a hymn. My Bible says that when we get to heaven, that we will rejoice there in chapter 21, starting in verse 4. It says, "And God will wipe away every tear from your eyes." When we finally get there and we see Jesus, we see Him face to face, all of the plagues of this life will be over. It's done. The psalmist said, "Your word is settled in heaven." It's done. It's settled. The race is over. The final battle is done. The Lord is victorious, and through Him and believing in Him, you are victorious. In fact, my Bible says that we are more than victorious. We are conquerors of this life through Jesus Christ. No more tears. No more sorrows. Praise God. Let's pray.